Hold fast thy crown is the name of the discourse. The spiritual begotten are under an enormous question mark. Look above. Look up. You see the question mark? You see it up there? You don't? Well, it's invisible. You can't see it. You know, we all have question marks. I look at every one of you. You have question marks. I have a lot of them, too. Do you know what the biggest question mark you have? The biggest, number one. Or you're just drifting along, waiting for things to happen. Just drifting along. You know, if let's pretend just a moment. If God called Michael on the phone and said, Michael, find out with the brethren in the convention in Gulfport. Find out what their biggest question. I'll be glad to answer it. What would you pick? Now, the number one question, what's on your mind? I know there are a lot of questions, but the biggest one you got, what's the biggest, most important? What would you pick? Would you pick how many of the Israelis crossed the desert when they went, fleet from Egypt and went to the promised land? Would you pick that question as your number one? I think you'd like to know, but I don't think it'd be number one. How about the Levites? Are they a picture of the great company class? Would you like to ask him that question? Will you ask the question, will Judas come back to earth, or will he be a part of the second death? Would you ask that question? You might not be interested in knowing that, but what's the biggest question you have in your mind? You might ask, when is the Armageddon is near? How close is it? What are the signs? Why is there a delay in the kingdom? You know, it was expected to be in here in 1917, 1916, 1917. It didn't happen. What's the delay? Why did I ask that question? You might be interested in that. But the number one question, I'm going to give you a moment to think about it. I might even ask you, what is your number one? What do you want God to answer to you? Now, we're pretending, aren't we? If I had to collect your answers, I would suggest that most of you will say, will I be of the little flock? Will I be of the ones that will be with the Messiah? Will I be members of the divine family? That's the number one question. Am I faithful enough for you to pick me in the scripture that says, many are called and few are chosen? Now look, we got to be careful of that scripture. Many are called, few are chosen. You're many here. Only a few are going to be chosen. Some of you are going to be left out. Or will Michael persuade me that everybody in Gulfport will be chosen? But the experiences of Jesus where he had to remember those 10 people with the disease, they all went to Jesus for being cured, and he cured them all, and only one went back to thank him. It's a 10-to-1 ratio. I would suggest that's probably most of you would like to know. Am I of the divine family? The family that has the crown. Each one has a crown. There are other scriptures that refer to the crown. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for God is faithful which he promised. And then there's another text in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown. Hold fast what you have, let no man take thy crown. You could lose your crown. Now we want to know, what is this crown that the Lord's talking about? Is it a metallic thing that goes over your head like they did in the ancient days? They had a crown put on the head, or the head piece. Is that what that is? No, that's not what it is. I'm going to suggest to you what this crown is. It's in you. God wants to give you a crown. Now, he had a lot of choices. First choice, he was going to put it on the top of a mountain. He says, well, if I put it on the mountain, I'd have to have people have become mountaineers to get it. Be very few that will have it. Then he thought, well, if I put it in the bottom of the ocean, only aquanauts go down to the bottom. Only a few would get it there. So where did he put the crown? Put it in heaven? No, he put it in your heart. You got the crown in your heart. It's a question of whether that crown is going to be kept there. It's on reserve for you. Will you be willing to be picked for its power, for its nature and its power? I'm going to talk a little more about that crown. But the thought of a profession, You know, many people have occupations. Occupation is a job where you go to work and you make money and you live on the money you make, and that's an occupation. But a profession is different. It's more than an occupation. It's a system of thought. You do it every day. You don't do it just in part time. It's all of our thinking is complete. It takes a total time, and it relates to the goals of life. It relates to a mission. Now, we look at a lot of achievements that human family has achieved with. Going on the moon, they thought, is a great achievement. Oh, boy, that going on the moon is really something. And it is a great achievement. But is that the greatest? No. Others say that the interspace travel is the greatest achievement. Mr. Kelly, who came after 1 year in space, 1 year is there living. You know what happened to him? He grew while he was there. You know why he grew? Because the gravity is so light, it's so less up there than over here. His body began to grow. When he came back and landed on Earth, he went back to the same height. Is that the great achievement? We're learning so much about the universe. Some say becoming president of a big corporation, making money, is a big achievement. Is that the big achievement? Some say the invention of aircraft and all the inventions of today is big achievements. I say to you, that's not the biggest achievement. The biggest achievement is what you can do if you win that crown. What is this crown that's so great and so precious and so wanting? Let me explain what this crown is all about. First thing is, it's the crown of life. The crown of life. But what is this life? It's the life on the highest plane in the universe. Highest plane. Only two individuals have that crown now. Only two. God and Jesus, or the Messiah. God and the Messiah are the only two individuals that have this greatest, the highest crown, highest level. And the invitation is for you to have that crown. Exceeding all the achievements that we've ever had in history, you've got the greatest opportunity to receive the highest crown. It's a crown of pure gold. Gold is a symbol of divine nature, not the lower forms of nature, not the plant life nature, not the animal life, not the human life. The divine light is the highest nature of living in the universe. You have that opportunity to be a member of that. The divine family is important, because if you plan to be in it, you want to be in there. You're not going on a vacation. You're going to work. So don't think of yourself on the hammock, you know, relaxing for eternity. No, there's a lot of work to do. I'm going to go through some of that work. It's a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. This is the reward of being in a temple position as a reconciler of the word of with the Lord. You know, I can summarize the plan of God in four words: reconciling sinners to God. That's the plan of God. You might say, well, isn't the cross the part of it? Yes, the cross is part of it. But the cross guarantees people coming back to life, resurrection. But coming back to life is not the end of the story. Everybody who comes back can come back with the same mind, same thinking, the same experiences. They don't forget those things in death. They're coming back with the same. A new body, a complete body. Not a perfect body, but a complete body. But they'll come back with the same mind. So they have to be changed. They have to be reconciled with God. That's your job, my job, if we're members of that little flock. Convert the sinners back to God. That makes the plan of God twofold. First, to get them out of the grave. Secondly, convert them to God. Then there's the crown of glory. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4, Romans 2:7. This is the reward of honor and majesty, the reward of administrative authority in the Messianic government with a new home and an earthly inheritance. I like to think that there's going to be a second Bible written, not the first one. You have the first, but there'll be a second. It'll be a Messianic Bible. It'll have the Messianic goals, the destiny, the values. It'll be in there. And there'll also be the biography of 144,000 people who qualify for the divine family. So as the second Bible is written, this second Bible will contain the bios of all the people who will qualify, and it'll be given to everybody to read. That's where your honor and glory will be. Everybody will read your life. We'll read what you did. We'll read why you, how you qualify, if you qualify. And you've got to have the qualifications to have your bio in this second Bible. Just like the ancient worthies had their names in the Bible, they did work for the Lord. You'll be doing the same thing in the second Bible. And it'll be not only for the people of the world, but only new creatures that are going to be created, new planets that are inhabited. They will read the second Bible. What a glorious thing that is for you if you qualify, if you have the crown. And then there's the incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25, Romans 2:7. This is the reward of immortality. Death-proof, deathlessness, cannot die. Life that does not depend on anything. Immortals have independent energy. The reason why you want food and eat is because you need energy, and food's transformed in the body for energy. Immortal people don't need energy. They have a self-controlled cycle where the energy is within them. So I see you don't have to sleep if you're immortal. You don't have to eat if you're immortal. Now, I don't think that's going to be boring, because there'll be many things you'll do. But you won't be a human being like all the rest. You're not going to be a human being when you're divine. You'll have the energy and all the equipment for living eternally. Romans 2:7 says, seek ye immortality. Go after it. It's available to you if you want it. Immortal ones will be the initiators of a whole new series of innovations. And if you're innovative, don't apologize for your innovations, because God wants their innovations. In fact, one of the things he might look for when he goes to choose those who are few from those who are many, he will look to see, well, how could you be an innovator? What are your innovations? I've been thinking about some of my innovations. I think of one planet will have all the flowers that was ever created. One planet, all flowers, beautiful flowers. And another planet will have all the animals. All the animals that was ever created will go on one planet. And another one, we have all the music that was ever created. Put all the music today. And so on. Lord God's going to see if you're an innovator, because divine creatures will innovate. They're not going to just take orders. They're going to do things that you never did before. Even the inventions and the concepts of that we've discovered about astronomy. Incidentally, I always urge that those of you who are really going to become members of the divine family, read a book on astronomy, basic book. Don't get the high power, but book on astronomy. Learn about what's going on in the world, what science has found. For example, how much does the Earth weigh? I'll tell you what they weigh. What do they weigh? 6.66 sextillion pounds. 6.6 sextillion pounds. Learn how fast are we moving. We're moving at 500,000 miles per hour through space. You don't feel it because gravity holds us down here. But we're moving at incredible speed. Incredible. I'll tell you another thing that is very controversial is space. The greatest invention that God made, the largest, I should say, not the greatest, the largest invention, the largest one. People think it's the galaxies or the solar system or the black holes. No. The greatest invention that he made is space. Space. This is the volume containment of all the galaxies, the solar systems, and the black holes, and so on. It contains all this, and that's an invention. And there's a controversy amongst the scientists as to whether or not how large is space. Controversy. Some scientists say that the space, as we're traveling 500,000 miles per hour, as we're traveling, at some point in time we'll hit the edge, and then we'll go over the edge. What will that mean? Everything is destroyed. But my feeling is there'll be no edge. Space is infinite. Infinite. Never ends. And if God, I believe God is working on the third universe right now. And I can explain to you how he's doing it. But we won't take the time to do that now. But he's working on the third. We've got the spiritual universe, the human universe, and the third one is being made not right now. Well, let me give you an idea of how infinity. Well, how big is infinity? How big is eternity? You got any idea? I'm going to use this for. Can I get Michael? Can I go over the chart over here?
Yes.
Will I cause any problem?
I'm going to give you a number of space or infinity. Life as you know it is 75 years. Statistically, half. 75 years. Some a little more, some a little less. Approximately. Let's see the number of what infinity is. Starts with 1, and that's a 0. That's 10. Another one, that's 1,000. Another one, that's 1,000,000. Another one, that's 1,000,000,000. Another one is 1,000,000,000,000. Another one is 4,000,000,000,000. Another one is 15,000,000,000,000. Another one is 6,000,000,000,000. Another one is 7,000,000,000,000. An 8,000,000,000,000. And so on. I can go on. I'm getting to a number that we're not usually, it's 0, 0, 0. If I fill this all up with zeros, are we at the end? Are we at the end? No, we're not at the end. So I'll write some zeros on the wall. I'll go around writing zeros on the wall. Are we at the end? All right, we'll do it all over the building. We're at 0, 0, 0, 0. Are we still at the end? No. All right, we'll do it all over the Gulfport. We'll do it all over the United States. We'll do it all over planet Earth. We'll go up. Are we at the end? Are you getting the feeling, the number of what eternity is? What infinity is? Feeling your feeling? Yeah, never ends. That's the number. Incidentally, science describes that number of 10 that way. That's infinity. So when you see that number, you think of God.
Okay, we talked about the incorruptible crown. Now some of you might say, God won't reject me. I do things for God. I play the piano. I cook meals. I take people to the airport. Are those the things that will qualify you for this great, magnificent, divine nature? You know, God used a lot of people. By the way, Michael, how much time have I got? 18 more minutes? I'll do it quick. Okay. God used a lot of people, but they didn't get anything so superior as you might get. For example, 600,000 people left Egypt when the slavery came to an end. 600,000. You know how many finally landed up in the promised land? 2. 600,000 were saved from slavery. Only 2 experienced. The Levites, there's 8,000 Levites that worked in the tabernacle. Only 5 were elected, granted the holy. 10,000 were called to Gideon's battle. Remember when Gideon was fighting with the Amorites? Only 300 was elected to battle. 10 virgins were selected. Only 5 made it. So, I can go on tomorrow. I can go on and on and talk about God's use of people. He used Hitler too, by the way. You know what? How Hitler did the plan of God? Hitler forced the Jews to go to the promised land. The Jews wasn't going. I think you got the idea that this crown is a magnificent thing. It's a bargain. You're 75 years for eternity. What do you pick? Your 75 years? That's what you're spending your time on now. Or would you pick eternity? Immortality. Isn't it worth all your time and effort now? Of course it is. Now how do we get this crown? That's what that book is sent out to you. But I want to give you a story first. Story of the dog who wanted to be a human. Now, I'm really not talking about dogs becoming human. I'm talking about humans becoming divine. But I'm using the dog as a parallel to be how a dog can do it, to see how humans can do it. Well, this dog looked at human beings and he says, you know, these humans have it easy. They talk and they have fun. They go on groups and they go on trips. They have a lot of fun. I want to be a human being. So the dog wants. So he starts inquiring to other people. How do I get to be a human being? And someone say, I don't know. I'm a dog. I'm happy as a dog. And so he went on and on looking for somebody who might know. There was an old dog says, I don't know what it is, but I think if you go down to the field and you go and talk to the master there and ask the master, how could you become a human being? I think he'll tell you. So off the dog went, looking for the master at the end of the field. And he says, Master, can you tell me how to become a human being? And the master says, yes, I can tell you how. Good, good. He says, make it right now. I need to be a human being. And the master saw something in them. He said, you mean you want it right now? Yeah, I want it right now. Okay, close your eyes. He closed his eyes and gave him a human body. And he looked at himself and said, oh, I'm a human being. So off he went. Didn't even thank the master for it. Off he went, and he went to this group that were talking, having fun, and so forth. He went to them, and he wanted to talk to them, so he opened his mouth, and he barked. He was barking, and that's a weird thing, a human body barking like a dog. So that was a weird thing for the humans. They just left. They didn't want to have any part to do with them. So he went to another group, barking at them, and they all... He says, this is not what I want. I want to be a human being. And so then he heard some barking going on. It was his old friends. So he went to his old friends, and he started barking with them, and they understood what he was barking about, but they saw his body. It was a human body. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of thing. So he was discouraged, and he says, I'm going to go back to the master. He went back to the master, and the master said, he said to the master, I'm not happy with this. He says, I didn't think you would be. He says, but I still want to be a human being. He says, I'll tell you how to do it. First, close your eyes and think like a human being. Think like a human being. How do I think like a human being? Take the principles of being a human being. Take those principles and work them into your mind. Into your mind. Not into your body. That's the human body. But into the mind. The mind is the key. Into your brain. Get these human things. And remember now, we're not talking about dog being human. We're talking about humans becoming divine. You want to become divine? Start now, thinking like a divine creature. That's Christ-like. And Christ-like is God-like. You take those principles and you do them now. Of course, we always say it's spiritual principles. Of course it's spiritual principles. Divine is spiritual. But be take the divine. I give you in this book that you had just received a list of 24 principles that you should do. Let me see if I can give you the page. That's this book here. I think it's page 17. No. 12? That's it. No. Yeah. Yes, 12. There's 24 principles. They all come from the Bible. These principles, get them working in your mind. Train them into your mind. Keep them in your mind. Become divine potential. That's what God will be looking at when he looks for you. I'm not going to look at taking somebody out to lunch or doing the piano. He's looking to see if you've got the divine potential. And you get the divine potential by using these principles and training your mind to execute them in your own behavior. Now, I'll just go down a few of them. The first one, you all know the love. Oh, love is, God is love. I like to have that principle in my life. But love first, that's different than love reactionary. You love those people who love you. And so you react. But when you love first, you do it before they do anything. Because that's what God does. Who's reconciling the world to himself? Who's reconciling it? You might say you are, and you might say Christ did. But it's God that does it. God is reconciling his people, the human beings, back to him. God is doing it. God did it first. And the practice of love as a principle means when you love first, you're doing a divine principle. A second one is extreme extra deeds, even if it hurts. That's where sacrifice comes in. Don't do something that doesn't hurt. Do something that will hurt you. I don't mean physically, and I don't mean that we should do something that's not useful. But sacrifice is sacrifice when it hurts. Otherwise, it's not sacrifice. Now, you might say Christ did a great thing when he's on the cross. It hurt a great deal. But you know who also was hurt by it? God. God was hurt. Remember the scriptures say, At that time, great crowds came in. He was hurt by that too. The third one, defend plans and purposes of God and the Bible, and so on. I'll leave those 24 for you to go through. Those are principles of creating divine potential within your mind. Not in your body. It doesn't work in your body, but in your mind. And on page 17, I give you 7 assessments. Now, these are my opinions. They may be worth something to you, or they may not be worth to you. But I'm saying these are 7 things that you can do to give you the strength and the ability to be chosen. Remember, many are called, few are chosen. So that means not all going to make it. The ones that are making it are those that get a high score on this assessment. There's 7 of them. First, a summary. Are you spirit begotten? You know, a lot of us feel that we've been begotten. How do you know you've been begotten? Take that assessment. Summary of spiritual living. Do you think you're living spiritually? How do you know this? We got an assessment here. Take it. Summary of the values of sacrifices. Summary of work to be accomplished by the Christ. There's a lot of things that, there's another page in here. There's a lot of things that the Messiah is going to do with his family. A lot of things. For one, they're going to imprison Satan and his demons. They're going to be imprisoned. And then for another is the resurrection. That's the biggest thing he's going to do. Bring out the resurrection. He's going to need help for that. And so on. I give you all the 7 in there. How are you going, Michael?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. I'll use the 6 minutes to summarize what we're talking about. Hold fast thy crown. 144,000 is the limit. Some are going to be not qualify. Now, you can use statistics all you want. I can tell you the number of Christians in the world today, many of them are from the nominal systems, but there's roughly around 50 million people that know about the Lord God and so forth. 50 million. That's my estimate. You probably have a different estimate. 50 million people. It might be the size of the great company class. Only 145,000 will make. Many are called, few are chosen. So the crown that you have in you, it's not in the mountain and it's not in the water, it's in you. If you've been begotten by the Spirit, then you have the opportunity to have divine potential in you. Divine potential, not divine. Divine potential. Some people think you're going to have a divine nature at the ghetto. That's not true. You cannot. Because you're not only looking for the potential, but you want the power of it. So what good is the potential if you don't have the power? So you got to have the potential, then you get the made nature, and then you get the power. Immortality. That in itself is worth the effort. Trade your 75 years for immortality. That's a bargain. Those of you who like to go shopping, you shop for bargains, that's the biggest bargain you can ever have. Trade your life for in eternity. A new name. You know, we're all going to get a new name. We'll all have the same last name, the Christ, because Christ is not a new one individual. Christ is both head and body. Head and body. But our last names will be Christ. I got to forget about Malley. You got to forget about Pistelli. You got to figure those names are gone. Your last name is going to be Christ. And then God will give you your first name. I hope so, because there are too many Pauls around. I don't know, the Apostle Paul, I think he deserves his Paul. I'm just one who came lightly. But we're all going to get new first names. And God will give you that new first name. You'll have a position in the government, position to administer policies. And then with that, it's been a pleasure sharing some of these thoughts with you. Remember, hold fast thy crown. Hold fast, because you'll lose it if you don't. And we've suggested ways to do it.